And to you out there, a very pleasant good evening. It's time now once again for the keyboard artistry and the apropos comments, musically and otherwise, of one Sir Richard Dickerrant from Hollywood for the next half hour on CBS Radio. Tonight, a special guest, something special all the way around, I believe. Richard?
Thank you, Mel Baldwin. You didn't tell the folks how nice you were to me the other night.
What'd I do?
Well, when you were playing that program, of which this tonight corresponds as the fill-in, instead of you...
Participles dangling there somewhere.
You very nicely gave me a little airtime to plug the fact that Ned Washington was going to be on the show tonight.
Good. This is Tuesday evening, isn't it?
This is Tuesday evening. That was Monday morning, wasn't it? Or was that Sunday morning?
Sunday night.
Oh, that's right. It was the 11 o'clock show. You hadn't yet gotten to the midnight soiree.
I'm confused now. It was Sunday evening, it was.
And who was that fellow you had somebody back east in his band, roughly speaking, in his orchestra, one of those crazy combinations of words that you talk about?
Well, you're over my head now. I don't recall, Dick. It wasn't Averill Crit or Down Boy Erstwhile.
If you... No.
No?
I don't know which one it was. Well, anyhow, hello, folks up and down the CBS line. Tonight, I've finally gotten around to doing something. Hey, Mel, come back, will you? I forgot something. Excuse me. This thing is tightened up and it won't turn, that lower thing on the mic there. Attaboy. Much obliged. Much grass. I finally got around to doing something tonight, folks, that I've been planning a long time. I've sat around on shows and heard Jimmy McHugh, Ned Washington, Harry Warren, Al Dubin, Victor Young, and they go on down the line. All these very fine composers come on the show and take bows and say thank you very much, and then I wrote. But there's one that's always struck me extremely funny. Well, he's not the only one, but he happens to be one of the outstanding ones because he's written so many tremendous hits. He comes on the show, and everybody pats him on the back about what a terrific job he's done writing these songs. And then they turn around and play the tune, and the man actually wrote the lyrics. So I said, by golly, if I ever get him on my show, I'm going to really give this man credit where credit is due. And I'm talking about none other than the writer of the lyrics of Look at This List, Getting Sentimental Over You, My Foolish Heart, I Don't Stand a Ghost of a Chance, When You Wish Upon a Star, Smoke Rings, Stella by Starlight, Can't We Talk It Over, and this year's nomination for the 1952 Academy Award, High Noon, the lyricist on that number, Mr. Ned Washington. Good evening, Ned.
Good evening, Dick. It's real nice to be here with you.
Well, this time it's going to be your program instead of somebody playing the music that the other fellow wrote while your lyrics sit there and don't get any credit.
I heard every word you said, and I'm in favor of all this.
Well, I can't think of a worse title gag in the world, but it fits. On this program, can't we talk it over?
Right, it's very appropriate.
So I'm going to open up if you just sit back and relax. You've never heard this tune before much, so I'm going to play it for the folks. Can't we talk it over?
Thank you.
so much for that. Now, let's see. I'm going to try to do this without getting into any cliches about, and then I wrote and so on for you. Which one shall we... I'd like to save High Noon, Ned, even though it is your biggest deal right today on account of the nomination for the award. I'd like to save that for the sort of the payoff on the show, if you might say. How about this tune here? Can't we talk it over? I noticed in the publishing at the bottom here it says 1931. Is that about right, or did you write it before then?
That's about right. I wrote it with Victor Young in about 1931, yes. In fact, we wrote it the day we met.
The day you met?
The day we met, yes.
Was there any gag connected with that?
We were introduced by Will Rockwell, who was then with Harms Incorporated, and Victor had just come from Chicago, and he had a lot of tunes. He had had Sweet Sue, which was a big hit while he was in Chicago, and he came to New York with a lot of tunes, and he played this one for me, and we sat right down and wrote it that day. It was revived again just last year. I never thought I'd live long enough to have revivals, but I've had them.
Well, I'm going to say something at the risk of embarrassing you. I really think that they're not writing, with the exception of some people like yourselves, the majority of the song composers are not turning out the quality of songs, either musically or lyric-wise, that they used to turn out. Maybe it's because that they have to write so many. Would you say there's anything
I would
to that?
Say that, yes. Radio and television devours songs so quickly that the writers are under pressure most of the time to keep the market supplied with songs. I would say where the writer who used to write 3 and 4 songs a year now writes 15 or 20.
Well, take right, excuse me, right back when this tune, Can't We Talk It Over, when you wrote that. How many tunes would you actually turn out in a year at that time?
Success. I wasn't a successful writer at that time, but a successful writer would might write 4 or 5 songs a year.
That many, huh?
Yes. But,
And then how long would a tune like that last?
Well, the song in those days could last a year and a half. A song today is completely... over the hill about 6 weeks.
I can visualize. They just pounce on it and
really
beat
do.
The tar out of it. What was that one that they had here a while ago? Well, even Don't Let the Stars Get in Your Eyes, this wild thing that's been fracturing everybody. That's gone down
well,
the road
now. Well, it's past
now.
Its peak right now, and it was only a few weeks old.
That doesn't seem fair, does it? I always liken it to the statement that the public is like a child with a new toy. They get it, and everything else is dropped completely. That toy takes precedence over everything, and away they go, and they'll play with it, and they'll admire it, and they'll explore it, and try to find everything about it, and all of a sudden, they're bored, so they try to do something that it's not supposed to do, and first thing you know, it's busted.
Well, I don't know. That might be it, Dick, but in defense of the public, I must say that in the old days, a tune reached them slowly through vaudeville theaters. They might hear a tune once every 3 weeks on a vaudeville show. But now they hear it once or twice every hour.
That's
and
true.
They reach a saturation point with it.
That makes sense, too. Did any of your tunes ever happen to any? Of course, I don't think you go back this far, but did any of your tunes ever happen to get on the old player piano rolls?
I don't think so. No, they were kind of on the way out when I came along.
My son went down and spent $400. That is, he went in hock for $400 and bought himself an old, welty mignon upright player piano. And you should see the tunes he's dragging home. And they've all got the lyrics on them, you know, stamped on the roll as the thing goes by. You're supposed to stand there and watch the thing and sing them.
He's a diehard, isn't he?
Oh, is that good? And all the kids are coming over now. He's a teenager, and all the kids are coming over, and I think it's a big charge to hear these records.
Say, listen, this generation might take up that role
and
of player piano again.
I have news for you. Some of those are pretty doggone good.
Yes.
Well, let's see. What do we do? How about talking about Ghost of a Chance? I notice here on the orchestration that it says, from the 20th Century Fox release, A Millionaire for Christie. Well, actually, wasn't this song written long before
this is a
that
new orchestration they've just printed up. This song was written way back in 32 or 33, I think. And it was revived last year in the 20th Century Picture, A Millionaire for Christie.
Uh-huh.
And had quite a success again. But it was written many, many years ago. What does the copyright say, about 32, 33?
Well, it says here, 32, yeah. American Academy of Music.
Yes, that was 1932. It's 21 years old, that song.
What goes with this American Academy?
Well, that's a subsidiary of Mills Music.
Oh, I see. Well, as long as we were talking about lyrics, now I've played Can't We Talk It Over and gave you no credit for the lyrics, but this time I want to really feature the lyrics. So why don't I give you a real nice introduction, and how about you doing a
little talk
version. Recitative-like? Recitative-like?
Recitative, but it'd be the continental.
All right, I'll be the Irish continental.
Glass of champagne? Okay, this is Ghost of a Chance, and here is the man himself that wrote the words. And let's see how they sounded to him when he does them.
Love you, oh, so madly. But I don't stand not a ghost of a chance with you. I thought at last I'd found you. But other loves surround you. And I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you. If you'd surrender, even just for a tender kiss or two, you might discover that I'm the lover meant for you, and I'd be oh so true. Well, what's the good of my scheming? I know I must be dreaming, for I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you.
Yes. Now, let me play a half a chorus, Ned, and you come back in on the bridge, would you?
Surrender just for a tender little kiss or two. Oh, you might discover that I'm the lover who's meant for you, and I'd be oh so true. Oh, what's the good of all my scheming? I know I must be dreaming, for I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you.
Yes, sir. Well, I see Jerry DeHaan, our engineer in there, kind of grinning satisfiedly, so apparently that was all right. Have you done it this way before, Ned, on your program?
I never have, no.
Never have?
No, I never
This
have.
Is a first?
First
well,
performance.
Is that good? That's great. Well, let me see. Rather than take a chance...
I feel like reciting Boots or something now.
Or the road to man, was it? To the face on the barroom floor?
Yes.
Look, Jerry DeHaan, my engineer, has got a very, very special favorite. And because that these things take a little time to do, I want to get all of these... in that I possibly can, particularly the top favorites. This is one of Jerry's favorites, your Stella by Starlight. Every time I sit down and start to make out a program in the control room there when we get a little time to chatter, I've said to Jerry, what'll I play? Without hesitation, he always says, Stella by Starlight.
Well, bless you.
Is there any particular significance to this song? Any inspiration that prompted you writing the lyrics that you did for this?
Well, that was rather a contrived situation, Dick. This music was the background music in a picture called The Uninvited. And there was so many demands for the background music from the picture that I was asked to write a lyric for it. By this time, people had gotten to call the thing Stella by Starlight because this was the particular name it was given on the cue sheet in the picture. And when they requested the tune, it was always told to them that it was Stella by Starlight.
Was it just an arbitrary
character? There was a character in the picture called Stella. She was the leading lady, and there was a scene where she came out and stood under the stars, and she's quite desperate at the moment. And over the scene, they played this melody. And there were so many demands from the public after seeing the picture that they asked me to write the lyric, and I was stuck with the title, Stella by Starlight. I didn't like it in the beginning, but it worked out pretty well in the final.
I'm going to make a sneaking personal comment on a tune that we're going to finish up with tonight, this High Noon. Excuse me. I like the lyrics best of all.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. I like the lyrics better than I do the melody.
Well,
I think that's what made the song. Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to play the first chorus of this, and then will you come in on the second chorus when I give you a nod and read the lyrics of this Stella by Starlight. Here it is with Ned Washington, and yours truly playing the accompaniment.
Sings through years and years of endless springs the murmur of a brook. Of a brook at eventide. That ripples by a nook where two lovers hide. A great symphonic theme. That's Stella. That's Stella by starlight. And not a dream. My heart. Oh, my heart. My heart and I agree. She's everything. Everything on earth to me. The experience thing.
Yes.
I didn't know there was so much ham in me, really.
Well, if this is ham, pass the ham, boy. I love it. Look at it. It's 23 minutes after 11, and we've done three tunes. Isn't that... That's the way these things go. We should take an hour for this show. Who's the little blonde next to you? Is that your fiancée, by any
that's
chance?
That's my fiancée. That's Patricia Boland, and I would like very much if she would sing a song for us.
Well, do you think she's calmed down now?
I think she is.
I insisted on her singing this, and she kind of got buck fever there. Are you going to be all right, Patty? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Patty Bowen. How are you, dear?
Hello. Fine, thank you.
You got your composure now?
Well, I think so.
Her composure and a composer, both.
Oh, my.
Oh, you kidding.
That's a terrible... Well, I tell you what. I want to get High Noon in, and I want to hear you sing this. So supposing I give you a real nice, fancy introduction, Patty, and will you sing a chorus of My Foolish Heart for us?
I'll certainly try.
Good deal. You want that in the key of F now, is that right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Heart, have why the ever constant moon take care, my foolish heart? There's a line between love and fascination. It's hard to see on an evening such as this, for they both have the very same sensation when you're lost in the magic of a kiss. His lips too close to mine. Beware, my foolish heart. But should our eager lips combine, then let the fire start. For this time it isn't fascination or a dream that will fade and fall apart. It's love. This time it's love, my foolish heart.
Bishop Bolland. And by the way...
Fine.
Ned, did you write any lyrics for Patty at all? Was that how you got
I'm always show? Misquoted. I'm not going to say a word. She knows.
Which one of these songs was written for her?
Well, not High Noon.
Well, we've got just time to do High Noon, and Ned, I don't want to miss a single moment of it, so... Here is the nomination for the Academy Award of 1952, and the man that wrote the lyrics doing it himself, High Noon, Ned Washington. I'll give you a four-bar introduction, and Ned, it's all yours.
Do not forsake me, oh my darling. On this, our wedding day. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Wait. Wait along. I do not know what fate awaits me. I only know I must be brave. And I must face a man who hates me. Or lie a coward, a craven coward, or lie a coward in my grave. Oh, to be torn twixt love and duty, supposing I lose my fairhead beauty. Look at that big hand move along, it's near and high noon. He made a vow while in state's prison, vowed it would be my life or his'n. I'm not afraid of death, but oh, what will I do if you leave me? Do not forsake me, oh my darling. You made that promise as a bride. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Although you're grieving, don't think of leaving. Now that I need you by my side, wait along, wait along, wait along, wait along.
By golly, we timed that out just right. And here's Mel Baldwin, and thank you very much, Ned Washington.
Thank you, Dick, and it's been a very happy experience. I'd love to do it again.
Thank you.
This has been the Dick Around program from Hollywood once again with special guest Ned Washington this evening. This is the CBS Radio Network.